His dark eyes narrowed even more, but he nodded. I pulled out my press pass and flashed it like it meant something, before tucking it back into my pocket. I'm writing a piece about New Orleans urban legends. Your name keeps coming up. He leaned back in his chair and folded his arms over his broad chest, causing the seams of his white t-shirt to strain their limits.
Does it now?
He drawled.
Can't imagine why.
Liar. The way he said it, the way he watched me, indicated he knew exactly why. I dropped my backpack at my feet, set my notebook on the counter, and flipped to a page of half-legible notes, aware the whole time of his piercing gaze that tracked my every move. I've got stories about a tattoo artist who inks symbols that can repel evil spirits, about a guy who once tattooed a protection charm so strong it saved someone from something they couldn't even name. Glancing at his massive biceps, I added, an artist whose own skin is covered in tattoos that aren't made of ink, because he was born with them. I tilted my head, watching for a reaction. For a moment, there was none, just the steady, unreadable darkness of his gaze. Then, a flare of heat warmed his obsidian eyes. It burned bright and hot before he got control of it and snuffed it out like it never existed.
Sounds like an interesting story,
he said coldly. Sounds like bullshit, I countered.
It is, and we're closed.
Dismissing me, he jerked his chin toward the door and turned his attention back to his drawings. If there's one thing I really hate, it's when someone underestimates my intelligence, especially when that someone is male and inconveniently hot. I said sarcastically, oh, yeah? Then you might want to turn off that big neon open sign hanging in the front window. People could get the wrong idea. He stood abruptly, striding around his desk to the counter and bracing his hands on it. He loomed over me, close enough that I could see the fine lines of ink on his knuckles. Close enough that I could smell him. Smoke and bourbon and something else I couldn't place my finger on. Something wild. He growled.
I said we're closed, notebook. Time for you to leave.
A door creaked open in the back of the shop, allowing a gust of cold wind to sweep through the room. With it came an ominous feeling of dread. My instinct for danger telling me in no uncertain terms that something was wrong. I should have walked away then. Should have shrugged and turned on my heel. Followed one of the half dozen other story leads I'd researched before I left Chicago. But I didn't. Because when I looked back up at Dax, the ink on his arms shifted. As if under his skin, it was alive.
2. Dax. Ink-stained fate.
Nah.
Said the mouthy little brunette, staring at my arms with big green eyes that might have been pretty if they weren't so filled with suspicion.
I think I'll stick around until the rain lightens up, if you don't mind. What's your cat's name?
Luce.
As in Lucy?
No, as in Lucifer. Don't pet her. She's allergic to people. And I do mind. Like I said, Petra, we're closed. Her suspicious gaze slanted sharply up from my arms to my face. Her tone held a challenge.
How'd you know my name?
The same way I knew her face. Knew her scent. Knew the husky, sweet sound of her voice, though I'd never met her before this moment. I'd been seeing her in my dreams for months. Not that I was about to fucking tell her that. The press pass, I snapped. So long, notebook. Get out. Go away. Go back to wherever you came from. I knew from the second the bells on the shop door jangled that things were off. And when she stepped inside, my ink stirred. A creeping sensation on my skin that happened sometimes when I worked on a piece tied to something dark. A sigil bound too tightly to a client's fate. Now, with her standing in front of me, staring at me like she wasn't afraid of what she might see, my ink burned. I turned my back to her, rolling the tension from my shoulders as my ink itched, crawled, whispered her name in my ear.